This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 24. Be joyful always, pray at all times, be thankful in all circumstances. This is what God wants from you in your life, in union with Christ Jesus. Do not restrain the Holy Spirit. Do not despise inspired messages. Put all things to the test and keep what is good and avoid every kind of evil. May the God who gives us peace make you holy in every way and keep your whole being, spirit, soul, and body, free from every fault at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you will do it because he is faithful. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks very much, Barbara. Let's just pray, shall we? Lord, we thank you so much for your word, and as we explore it together, we pray, speak to our hearts. Help us hear what you have to say to us, your church, today. In Jesus' name, amen. Just share with everybody, really briefly, your favourite chocolate, okay? What is your favourite type of chocolate? Off you go. Five, four, three, two, one. Okay, so favourite chocolate. Say again. Oh, really loud? Lindor. Lindor. Who loves that? Yeah, okay. Okay, we have to do this. Mars. John Sturgeon works for Mars. Oh, Mars, look. Well,
my favourite chocolate bar is Topic, but we don't make them anymore. No.
What a shame. Yes, Alice? What's yours? Dairy Milk. Who likes Dairy Milk? Cadbury's Dairy Milk. Yep. Galaxy chocolate. Who likes Galaxy? Any others that have fruit and nut? Any that haven't been mentioned? Ferrero Rochers. Who likes those? And Bounty. Who likes... Now, do you see Bounties? Who likes Bounties? Because they were always left in the birthday box. So if anyone wants some. And just a couple more. Yep, Darren. Fruit and nut. Brilliant. And, yep. Which one? Hazelnut chocolate. It's lovely, isn't it? Chocolate is absolutely amazing. Double deckers, that's marshmallow, isn't it, as well, which is doubly great. Isn't it great when things just make sense? And for me, I find that chocolate just makes sense. You put it in your mouth and it's just God's creation, isn't it? It might be processed, but it's still good. That said, sometimes we prioritise things the wrong way, don't we? So this week, I found that somebody in their infinite wisdom had decided to put No Sugar Day on Thursday the 3rd. Who knew about that? Anyone know about No Sugar Day? Okay, well, nobody gave up chocolate then. But it also just happens to be the day before National Smile Day, Friday the 4th. Now, I guess in some way it makes sense because you can at least try to make up with people that you've been grumpy to the day before because you've not had any sugar. But wouldn't it just make sense to put National Smile Day before so you could make lots of friends and then they would be gracious towards you when you're grumpy with them for not having any sugar? At least they decided to make National Hygiene Week tomorrow. So everybody knows about that, National Hygiene Week. Remind your teenagers. Reminding people to brush their teeth after they've eaten the chocolate. That said, Hygiene Week doesn't start until tomorrow, so please be gracious with people who today haven't had a shower. So, as with the organisation of these dates, there's something about our reading today that just makes sense, isn't there? And yet, as I reflect on his words, I thought about how hard it is to follow them. Always be joyful, pray at all times, and be thankful in all circumstances. So it's good to share good news today, isn't it? God is working in our lives, and it's amazing that we can just encourage one another as we come together about how good God is. But a quick question for you. Is it possible to always be joyful? Is it possible to pray all times? And is it actually possible that if you were thankful in all circumstances, if you were, would it not just be a bit irritating? Did anyone just find him that slightly bit irritating? And that's being thankful. Why? And some people are looking thinking, that doesn't make sense. So the thing is that we all have different responses, and a lot of those responses is what's going on in our hearts. Well, clearly, Paul, when he wrote his letter, didn't think that those three were too hard to get. And let's take joy for an example. In fact, one Paul was speaking about joy, he isn't talking about experiencing things that give us joy all the time. He's talking about showing joy in what we do, expressing that joy. And we can do that in all circumstances, irrespective of what's going on in our lives, because of what Jesus has done for us. So let's just push the pause button for 1 second, shall we? Maybe there's a danger we'll make this all about ourselves. My joy, my time of prayer, yeah? My giving thanks for things that I'm thankful for. But actually, do you know what? We'd be missing something really important in this reading if we did that. Because remember, Paul wasn't writing a letter to one person. He was writing it to his friends in Thessaloniki, the community of believers who followed Jesus. He was saying to them, together, be joyful, pray, and be thankful. So let's think about harvest in the past. Take a look at the slide that's up here now. Take a look at what's going on in these pictures and just share what you see happening with people around you. Off you go. What do you see in this picture? Okay, so what do you see happening in these pictures? What do you see happening? Yeah. Say again. The tree. Yeah, definitely tree. What are they doing with the tree? Sort of sleeping and doing things like that. Yeah. This is the harvest. Some people sleeping because they've been working really hard. Alice. They're harvesting. That's right. They are collecting all of the wheat, aren't they, that they can see that has grown. Yeah. They're glamping. Camping. It would be... these are sheaves of wheat that they've gathered together so they can go and take them into the... they look a bit like tents, don't they? But that's because you've been to New Wine a few times. Yes. Potentially, and they probably would have done that, although they would have gotten a lot of trouble for the people that owned the land if they were scrumping. But so all of this is a typical harvest scene that you see. It's done by a clever person. I say clever because he's called the Elder. Peter Bruegel, the Elder, painted this. And this is a community that have come together. They've collected the food, that they've put the seeds out, and then they've seen it grow. And then when the food has been ready, they've collected it together in the harvest. And they're giving thanks for the gift that God has given them. Isn't it good to actually pause and do that? You know, we go to Tesco's, we go to these places, we go and buy our food and we eat it, and then we go buy more and we eat it. We're disconnected from what we see here, aren't we? Completely. But these people are giving thanks. They're so thankful to God for what he's provided. Now, you will probably already know this, but we have had the garden twinned out the back, and there's a letter here which I'd like just to read you. Thank you so much for supporting Ripple Effect by donating an amazing £300 so we can work alongside families in rural Africa. Please pass on our thanks to your congregation. Here we go. For helping them transform the lives of our farmers like Judith, who lives on the front line of a climate crisis with their families in rural Migori. And this is what Judith says. Ripple Effect has helped me a lot. I now grow groundnuts, bananas, beans, etc., and have got a good harvest and are still waiting to harvest more. Now, I know that Judith will share that with those people that live near her, because that's what in those areas people do. What they have, they share. And when we come together, when we share, when we're doing stuff as God's people, there's so much more of an opportunity for us to be thankful together. Sounds like a long time ago, doesn't it? But it happens now. Think about the mechanized production that we see in the way we eat. But we do see that old way of harvest still happening. Harvest is a community thing, thanks Mike, that brought people sharing life together in praise, prayer, and thanks for God's provision. And in the reading, Paul speaks about those three, doesn't he? Three marks of a community growing together. And so I ask these three questions. Are we a happy church? Are we a praying church? And are we a thankful church? Yeah. That's really good. That's absolutely fantastic. The thing is, are we happy in the sense of seeing God actively working through us? And I'm encouraged to see that. I hope you are. Prayer for in that we encourage one another to pray and persevere in prayer in those times when it doesn't seem like we have an answer. Do we pray together on our own, or do we pray together as God's church? Not just on a Sunday. And I think that's an area where God's wanting us to move into a new season. There'll be an opportunity soon to come to a Sunday evening tea at about sort of 5:30, where you can come and get some hot cross buns or something like that, some toast and stuff, and then just come and pray and do a couple of prayer activities together. And also Monday to Friday, 9 till 9:30, there's prayer here in this building every day. If you're around, do drop in. Do drop in. It transforms the day. And what about thankful? Even at times when everything around us seems dark, there will be something that we can give thanks for. One writer put it this way: if we face the sun, the shadows will fall behind us. If the sun is here and we're facing it, the shadows go behind us, don't they? But if we turn our backs on the sun, all the shadows will be in front. And so let's fix our eyes on Jesus, and we'll be looking into the light. Whatever we face, God will have the last say. And if we've invited Jesus into our lives, we're his, and we know that he will make good in the end. And so if we're happy, prayerful, and thankful, we'll be fit to help collect the harvest of people that Jesus has called us to take him to. And we'll see God grow his life-giving fruit in our lives and the lives of others. And so, are you on that journey of experiencing joy, growing in prayer, and giving thanks to God? And maybe we can begin by being reminded that we're called to a relationship with Jesus and the church. And in all that God calls us to as a community, let's commit to come together and trust that our God is faithful and he will do it. Amen. Let's just pray, shall we? I'm just going to encourage you to bring to your mind something that you want to say thank you to God for. Lord, we bring this thing before you and we pray, your will be done. Help us to be joyful, Lord, and thankful in those things. Keep us committed to praying together. In Jesus' name, amen.